second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Mike in Colorado is second. Joel in Wisconsin, you're up with Michael. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Fred kind of stole some of my thunder when he said, you're going to be bombarded with, I don't know what to call them, trolls or government callers and things. I think you've already had two tonight.
Really?
The one guy didn't even know who he was calling. He called you Jamie, and the last one, that Jared guy, he's telling you don't do a show about 911, and he'd rather have you do a show about aliens. Now, what possibly could possess him to do something like that? When your theme pretty much is to expose government lies, and that's a good thing. Now, that would really stimulate some, what do you call that, damage control. And you're going to get it, man. You're going to get it.
Well, I kind of got the drift that if a guy was standing in my living room, he'd be choosing me out for a fight. But it really doesn't matter. You know, the bottom line is when he brought up the word alien, yeah, call John Statmiller and ask him what his thoughts are on that, because John and I talked about that years ago. You know, I don't talk about aliens because I'm not an expert in it. Do they exist? Probably. Are they here on the planet? Likely. Who knows? But that's right. Not the point. They're not doing anything directly to me that affects my life. My government is, right?
Exactly.
And that's
right.
My biggest concern. Yeah, so.
Exactly right. And I'm going to be listening Tuesday night very carefully, because I already suspect whoever you're going to have on. Because if he knows who shot down Flight 93, that's like saying, who shot down Santa Claus's sleigh.
Okay, well, let me interject something, okay? He did not come out and tell me he knew who shot down Flight 93. I said that the information that I had gotten years ago was that this gentleman, Rick Gibney, shot down 93. Now, he told me I was wrong. He didn't say that who shot it down, nor did he say it was shot down. He just said
good.
I was wrong, okay?
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
Because I'm coming from a position there wasn't no Flight 93 for the same reasons that the airplane wings did not break off of the flights, the ones that hit the towers. The reasons they didn't break off and fall down, now that's something we know. The reason they didn't break off because there were no planes. That's why.
Well,
so
if
there weren't any planes, the pieces can't fall down.
I get you, okay? But when Jared was up here talking about don't talk about 9/11 and accusing me of doing a show on 9/11, those words never pursed my lips. I just said
I know
that. The premise of the show Tuesday night isn't really about 9/11 at all, okay? So I don't know where he picked up on that, but, I just happened to say that on that one event, he happened to be flying one of the jets on 9/11, and he was. So, that's the end of that story. But the story or the show itself Tuesday night isn't going to be about 9/11. Anyway, go ahead.
My suspicion is that Jared was a government caller. That's my suspicion. I can't prove that, but that's just a suspicion. But because, you see, your listeners, the people that listen to RBM, are actually smarter than the government callers that call up to make fun of it.
That's very true.
When they call, yes, it is true. So that's how the regular listeners can detect them, because they're just doing the job. That's why they get the names wrong. They don't even know that guy called you Zog, because he went down and listened and saw, I had the wrong program.
Right, I get you. I get you. I'm not a Zionist organized government, so, let's make that clear.
Okay. And that other caller was talking about holograms too. You shouldn't get into that, because there again you're stepping into speculation, trying to speculate as to what did happen. That's the wrong way to look at it. You only analyze what didn't happen. If you stick with what you can prove, you wouldn't waste your time trying to speculate on what did happen. And if you I've said this before, and if you just concentrate on that, anybody that does step into that is either foolish or in on it. Because once you step into that, what possibly happened, you can it can go for miles and miles and miles.
Oh, Joel, I agree with you. Okay, I totally agree with you, and I'm getting better. But I have to tell you, you know, I'm not the world's sharpest tack when it comes to spotting a troll. You know, so I guess I have to do a little more research on that. But and you know, the truth of the matter is, they are kind of amusing, don't you think?
Yes, they are. But hey, but you've got me.
That's right.
If you're not the sharpest, I can always call in and help you out.
Call right in after the troll and say, Michael, that was a troll. And I'll say, okay, Joel. You've got more trolls than I do. All right. Thanks a lot, man. I'll let you go. I got to go to Mike in Colorado here. Mike,
all right.
you're up with Michael. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Michael. And the serendipity of these last three phone calls is ridiculous because I was listening and I didn't want to call again. I called you last week. But Jared was absolutely a fed. And the reason I can tell you this with 100% certainty is one of my childhood friends helped write the manual that tells them which steps to take, almost like a telemarketer. When the telemarketer gets a no, they say, well, okay, but what about this? And the second you gave him a solid rebuttal to his premise, he switched to another topic. That's how you can tell every single time, 100% of the time.
Well, you know what's interesting, Mike, is that my board operator just notified me he's back on the line again. You think I ought to take that call?
Absolutely, yeah. And he's going to try to not – I can tell you because I didn't read the manual, but I collaborated linguistically with my friend. He's going to exactly backpedal first, and then he's going to refute what you say he said. And I know he's listening right now, and he's looking at his script, and I wouldn't be surprised if he probably doesn't hang up.
Hey, Mike, stay on the line. Mike, the board operator, if Jared's still there, pull him up on the line. Jared, you there?
I am.
All right, what do you got?
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Well, I just heard that these people were saying that I was a plant. No, and that's not the point I was trying to make about
9/11. They said you're a fed. Okay? Let's be clear. Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right. I'm going to be clear. That's not the point I was trying to make about 9/11. The point I was trying to make about 9/11 is that's a long time ago. And I think many people missed my point was that what are you going to do about it now? And I don't want to – I'm going to throw a lot of
–
No. Please let me finish.
What am I going to do about it now?
I'm going to throw a lot of – No. Let me finish,
please.
You
missed the point, Jared. The show's not on 9/11, Jared, okay?
No, I
made that clear.
But no. That's what these people are talking about. Can I finish my context?
That's what these people. Who's the people that are talking about what?
That's what they called, and they said I was trained to tell you to throw you off that concept. That's what that one dude said.
Well, okay. Is that true or not?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
And
okay,
if anybody's going to do anything about the government, let me ask you, do you command a long-range artillery unit? You command an Air Force squadron? Because unless you are fighting with those backups, you will lose any war.
I'm not fighting anybody. I'm commanding my mouth and my tongue, okay?
No. I'm not saying you. I'm not saying anybody. I'm just giving you some stuff to go by. Without those things, you will lose.
I'm not starting any wars, Jared.
No, I'm not saying that, dude. Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm not. You're telling me unless I've got a garrison and all this stuff, you know. Now, look, this whole thing started off with you accusing me of doing a show on 9/11 Tuesday night that I'm not doing. So, you know, who is misinformed here, me or you?
No, I'm not saying that you're going to do a thing about 9/11. I'm just maybe trying to voice my opinion that maybe 9/11 is old and we shouldn't talk about it anymore. What are we going to do with it? I mean, it's over. They screw us over. What are we going to do now? Maybe it's time to move on.
Well, you haven't heard me do a show on 9/11 since I've been back on the air. And I hadn't got it in my plans of future shows. So there you go. Okay? Anyway, thanks, Jared. Appreciate the call. I'll let you go. Let's go back to Mike in Colorado. Mike, go ahead.
Oh, that was pretty close.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say.
No, he did back off a little bit. But you know what?
Backpedal.
It either It either is or it isn't. It really doesn't matter. You know, he was backing up on the 9/11. But the thing is, you know, with all due respect to whoever he is, he got off on the wrong foot by accusing me of doing a show on 9/11, which I wasn't doing. So,
well,
it's not.
Who listens anymore these days? Who really listens when people speak?
That's true. They're too busy, you know. Yeah. What is the word? Let's see. What is the saying? There's a saying that I used to use. People would interrupt me all the time, okay? And I would say the definition of the word, what is it, but, is that forget everything I just said and listen to me because what you say isn't as important as what I have to say.
Exactly.
Something along. Yeah. No, I get you. It runs along those parallels.
The reason I actually really wanted to call.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're doing fantastic. You've got to stay on RBN this time for eternity, and we've got to get the dough because a host like you doesn't have a position. You're just an investigator, like the other smart caller said, and we learn so much by listening to you, and I'm not sucking up because I don't even know you, but every time I get the chance to tune into you, I actually learn something, and I'm a pretty smart guy.
Well, you know what? I actually learned something today by this gentleman I spoke with on the phone for 15 minutes, and I thought I knew a lot about 9/11. But this guy was giving me stuff behind the scenes that I didn't know, and he couldn't have known that unless he would have been there. You know, and this is why I'm really thrilled about having him up. But, you know, yeah, getting back to what you're talking about, I agree with you. This program needs to stay on the air with or without me, okay? I'm just a pinch hitter here, okay? But my point is that And I know John very well behind the scenes, and this is a good segue, so I'm going to go ahead and get into this while I've got you on the line, Mike, good. Is that we're revamping here, and we're going to start a program Monday night, and for about 5 minutes every night, I'm going to be asking the listening audience to kick in and donate. What's the big deal? Throw in $20, for crying out loud, because in my experience, and I've done this, Mike, several times over my past history with RBN, and they're literally, we've figured it out actuarially, and we figured out that there's less than 10% of the people that listen that actually do throw in anything. And it really disappoints me because they suck all this information out, but they give nothing back. And the question is, where do you go? If RBN is gone, where do you go? There's no place to go. We have lost, I can't remember the exact figure, but I believe it's like 28 Patriot radio stations over the last few years. And I was on one of them that went down, Oracle Broadcasting. As a matter of fact, the owner of that network is a host on Sunday night on this network now. So, you know, the place that you can go to get actual information is getting smaller and smaller. And the only thing that I can ask of everybody out there, including myself, of which I put at least 20, if not 30 hours a week into bringing this information to the listening audience out there. And if I can kick in $100, then somebody else can kick in 20. As a matter of fact, everybody out there, you know, could kick in 10, $20. And that's what I'm asking for, is because the guy that designed this is asking every host to do their part to collect a certain amount of money so we can get John off the hook. John, and I've seen this behind the scenes, and I want you to imagine for a minute, Mike, and the rest of this listening audience, you are running a network that brings vital information to the people among many different scopes, from investigators, from doctors, from, you know, just every walk of life, people that are informed, people that have written books, okay, and they're giving you this information, and it's free. And you've got a guy that's running this network that is dedicated to it, his heart is in it, and the stress that he goes through behind the scenes because he comes up short and he has to get on. John does not like to get on the air and ask for money. I know that for a fact. He just does not like to do it. Who does? Nobody does. Okay? But the economy has gotten to a place. The advertising has gotten to a place where it keeps falling off. People are going broke. The guys that used to be able to afford to advertise can't do it anymore. And the nut is beyond the point of being able to be cracked unless the listening audience who enjoys the show and who always gets valuable information out kicks in. And I'm not saying a lot. I'm saying kick in with what you can that's not going to take food off your table. All right? I know what I can afford. I'm retired. I can't really even afford $100, but I'm going to throw it John's way only because it's imperative that this program stay on the air. And they're taking tallies of how much money is collected via each talk show host, okay? and I want to be the top one. I want you guys that are listening to me out there to contribute so I can be the one that collected the most money out of any of these other talk show hosts. Why? Call it my ego, call it whatever. But I've done this before with John, and I have actually gone and cashed in my own gold and my own silver in the past to keep this business afloat more than once, and John will attest to that. Okay.
Well, so, I tell you, I think that's a fantastic idea. I listened, and personal story, I listened for about 2.5 years before I gave a donation. Granted, I'm not a rich person, but I always felt as though I couldn't give enough. And then one day, it occurred to me, just give them $20. I wanted to give $1,000. I wanted to give $5,000, and I didn't have $5,000 to give, and I just couldn't put $1,000 on a credit card. And so I'm sitting there, and it, like, something clicked in my head. It's like, you know what? Just give them what you can give. And I think a lot of listeners maybe feel that same way, and I hope that if they do, that they do contribute to your show starting Monday or tonight or whatever. And if it's $7 on a PayPal account, so what? I think giving what you can is the big trick.
I can tell you this, Mike, is that if just with the amount of people that I know that listen just via an internet server, okay, if just that amount of people would give $20 each, we wouldn't have to do this anymore. Yeah. This is why I'm saying there's less than 10% of the people that actually do give. And I get your point. If every one of us out there would – the reason I'm kicking in 100 is because, first of all, you know, I can't really afford it, but I'll give it anyway. But I know that that would take up for 5 people giving 20. So I'm just asking for $20. I'm asking every listener to give $20, go into RBN, go into the PayPal on RBN, and just give them $20, okay? And if all of us would do that, then the load would be lightened. The stress that John is under, people ask me, they say, well, how come John only does, you know, 3, maybe 4 shows a week? John is under so much stress and so much pressure that there are times when he just doesn't have the time, or he just doesn't have the mental capacity to even do a show, you know? And I have to tell you, it's tough to do a show. You have to sit down, get prepared for it, figure out what you're going to talk about, put it in a position to be able to deliver it to the people where they understand it. You have to break down some of this stuff that is, you know, sometimes pretty
crazy.
Technical. Yeah, yeah. So it's not an easy job. And by the way, these hosts on this network, the vast majority of them, are doing this, and myself included, for free. I'm not getting paid for this. You know, I'm doing this because I believe in it and because I'm trying to bring this information to the American people so they'll spread the word as well. That's why.
Well, I tell you what, Michael. Monday, when you start your campaign, I'm going to contribute for 2 people, $40. It'll be through PayPal, and I'm going to vow to that. I'm writing it down as we speak, and I'm on board with you.
All right, Mike. Thank you. I really appreciate it, honestly. And if everybody out there would do the same thing, even half of what Mike does, believe me, we can take this stress, and you'll notice an improvement in John's shows. Because sometimes I can't even believe that John can sit down behind that mic and do a 2-hour show with what he's got on his mind and the pressures behind the scene. And believe me, I know it firsthand. I've been there. I've lived with John. I've seen him go through it. Okay. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy to go through what he goes through. John's a good guy. John's a good guy. Okay. John, he's not perfect, but he means well. Okay. And he's doing this because his heart is in it. Okay.
Well, I tell you what, though, if anybody calls in Monday who doesn't want to hear me ever call back and they contribute up to $50, I'll match it. If they call you up and say, I never want to hear from Mike in Colorado again, I'll give you $50 to do it. I'll match one person.
I'll write that down, Mike, $50, one person. If he never calls back
again. Because I know we get sick of hearing some people, and there's some people that call in that we're just like, oh,
right,
my God, I can't believe calling.
Just remember this. If that happens, okay, remind me to give you my private phone number. We got to go to a break. Mike, thanks
right on,
a lot.
Brother.
I'll let you go. Murray, you're up next. I'll take you right on the other side. Be right back. What it is you think I should.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Thank you for being so patient and holding. Murr, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Same thing happened. I get this loud noise when I get on your show. I don't know what that is.
That's me. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's not you. It's your minder, probably. I don't know.
I think, is it a beep? Is that what you're talking about?
Huh?
Is it a beep?
It's what it is.
Oh, it's probably a Fed. Okay.
Yeah. Just make
what's
sure
on
I'm
your
deaf.
Mind, girl?
How's this sound for a number? 715-307-8222.
Wait a minute. 715. Go ahead again.
307-8222.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's Field's number.
That's whose number?
Field. When you're going to have on Tuesday?
Oh, my God, you gave it away. You gave it away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Guess what? You can go in either to your site and pick up the chat there or go to the AmericanAwakening.chatango.com, and I have a load of links in there if anybody wants to prep for Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh, listen to you. And I tried to keep it a secret. I never gave out his name, and you got it.
I know.
You should be the investigator. You know that?
What's that?
So what? Now his number's all over my Chatango room. What?
I put it in there. He gives it out all the time. You kidding me?
I know he doesn't care. I know he does. I was
gives
watching.
Out all his passwords when he's doing his live shows. He goes, "Oh, what's the password? Oh, here it is. Password Skype."
He seems like a great guy. You know,
oh,
I mean,
is.
I,
he was
just
a great, and his the forensic investigator David Hawkins that works with him or does a show with him. He does his own work, I guess. But he just got back from Australia. He was over there for a while visiting his brother and I guess speaking. But he's up in B.C. He's a Brit. But his beautiful little wife, there's a picture of her in the chat there, too, in the one article about the forced separation by the DHS. That's Department of Hebrew Security, I believe, right?
Okay. Okay, now wait a minute. It's American. It's American Awakening, right? Dot Chatango, Chatango, yeah, because he was talking about it. He was talking about his wife's
American Awakening.
It's not
the American Awakening. If you just go to your site, theamericanawakening.org, and then click on video chat, you'll get right to it that way.
Oh, really? I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, it's hooked up.
Well, my webmaster
Somebody did set up an interim one for you without the "the" in front, and so that's kind of confusing people.
Oh, I've got this guy, and I think I told the story. You know, I got this guy that I got a text one morning. And this is before I went back on the air. The guy says, "Is this Michael Herzog?" And I said, "Who's asking?" You know, because I'm a little bit suspicious. And he said, "Well, go into your email account." So I went in there, and it's this guy offering to totally redo my website. You know, and I was a little, you know, I was a little standoffish. Going, "Well, who are you?" And he said, "Well, you don't remember me, but you had me on your show like 7 years ago." I said, "You're right. I don't remember you." So. Anyway, come to find out, I went back in and I did a search in my Google. You know, I never erase an email. And I went back in there. Sure enough, the guy was on my show like 7 or 8 years ago, you know. We had some, you know, some correspondence there. So I took a chance and I turned it over to him. And I think, you know, he did an absolutely stellar job with it.
Your site's very nice. Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm there. So now I go to where? Where do
where,
I go?
Where are you? In the AmericanAwakening.org?
Yes. Okay, so where do I go now?
On the bar, it says video / chat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You click on that, and that'll get you to the chat room. That's the HTML version. I like the Flash version, but you can get to it.
Okay, well, it's thinking. It's not going anywhere, so I don't know. But wait a minute. No, it says, "Well, that didn't work. Try refresh the page." Yeah, so I guess, okay, so let's go back to square one.
You know what, it did work, and now it's not for me either, but, let me see, the regular Chatango is the AmericanAwakening.com. Just put "the" first, the AmericanAwakening.com.
Okay, now am I gonna find anybody screaming at me in there?
Not that I know of. I'm the only, there's more people in there now since I've been giving it out over there.
Oh,
okay.
So
Dino's
was there.
In here with me and a couple anons.
Oh, okay. Anons? All right. Well, let's see. All right. No, I'm just going in here. I want to see a picture of Field's wife.
Yeah.
Because
I was
telling him on the show that he's my age. He's 67 years old. And I said, "I'm envious that here you found this beautiful lady that's your wife, and I can't even get a date, you know." So,
yeah.
So, okay,
well,
wait
a minute. This article, the reason they had the pictures, we're coming to a break.
That's all right. I'll hold you over. Okay, stick around. Be right back. Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use
use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Murr, you impressed me. You should have been an investigator because I never gave out Field's name. I was trying to keep it as a surprise, and you just blew the whole thing. It's like busting into a surprise party. You know that?
Well, you know what? I'm not even going to apologize because there's so much to look into with this guy. You need to be prepared before you start to hear him.
Oh, I know. And as I was talking to him, he was just going, blah, 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 and I wrote a whole page worth of information. And about, he's on his way to the airport, right? And I wrote a whole page of information out, and I was missing things because he was talking too fast. And I asked him, I said, well, do you normally do an hour or two? And he said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, with you, I want to do 2 hours, but I also want to open the phone lines in the second hour. He said, no problem. But yes, he had such a plethora of information in just that short stint of time, stuff that, you know, it really doesn't have anything to do with 9/11. And there's one thing in there that I want to talk about specifically, and I'm not going to tell you that, which explains a lot about a number of these different accidents that I started to get into at the beginning of the show. I got about 5 lines in. The phone started ringing. I've never been back.
The video's in your chat about that. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, but don't give it out.
Okay, I won't. That's why I didn't, okay. But it's in there.
It's a secret. Well, now you just gave it out because now everybody's going to pour in there. Everybody's going to pour in their go, okay, what is it?
Oh, yeah, you know? You got 11 people in here now.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I'm not giving out the... See, I don't even go in there, you know. I'm afraid somebody's going to yell at me in there, so I don't go.
Don't worry about it.
Well, and it's the same thing, you know. I went in there to look at the picture of his wife because we were talking about that, too. He met this beautiful woman. You know, she's a Brit, and I'm the same age, and here I am out there. You know, I'm looking for my life partner as well. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. If I don't find a life partner in the Patriot movement, I'm not going to find one because first you have to have the chemistry, but secondly, you have to wake them up. And waking them up, you know, is almost impossible because they get that glaze in their eye, you know what I mean? And they think you're from another planet and they run the other way. So anyway, that's my story. Anything else you got going?
The picture in here was one they had taken when they were doing a thing in the Able Danger website about the, war brides. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Little chapel and, you know, got duded up and got their picture taken there.
Oh, well, he just got married recently, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was just, I don't think it's even been a year yet, but it was since the new DHS, unfortunately, that, you know, but apparently over on that end in Britain more than even here, they interrogate her like, I think it's 3 times now for 2 hours each time. And it's over it's over Able Danger's website, stuff on
their
website. Yeah. Huh.
Well, you know, you're not over the target unless you're getting flack, Murr, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, and that's what it is. And I can experience it too. I've been down the road with it. But at any rate, well, listen, I appreciate your information. You know, it's kind of funny that you gave it up. I was hoping to keep it a secret, but now it's out. So, but it's going to be a great show. It really will.
You'll actually bring more people in because, you know, once you start looking into this, you're like, wow. I was just listening to the Richie Allen version he did the other day, too. He does shows all over the place.
Yeah, I know. But, that's what I was listening to today. And the guy's an encyclopedia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to because I'm a pilot, and he's a pilot, so we got along there, you know.
Yeah.
And there's just, you know, there's so many things to get into.
There's a live stream. There's a link in here to live stream, and they've done like 700 shows now. They do a couple a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a couple with Victoris, Victoris Libertas. You know who that is?
I've heard. Go
Indian
ahead.
Jim. I'll put a link to that in here too.
Okay.
But they've done so many because they just got the spirit moved them to start, you know. Recording people about this pedogate or child rapist is what they've decided to call it because that's what it is. And pedophile, it's not children love.
No, and you know what?
It's child rape and it's sacrifice.
Yeah, I didn't touch on that with him when I was on the phone today, but him and I are on the same page there because this is, you know, the pedogate thing is the core issue of what binds these people together, and it's the big secret.
About his sister. You know about his sister?
He's mentioned her a few times, I don't know any particulars about
it.
He just
said,
"Oh God, here we go."
It's Libertas in here.
All I know about his sister is that he gave his sister some information which she gave to Hillary Clinton. That's all I know. Does that ring a bell?
It's bad.
Oh,
I mean, she's a real mover and shaker for a long time. I mean, like JonBenet Ramsey, that was a hit. It's pretty disgusting, but it goes back to like 1700s or something, Whitehall, I guess, where it's death bedding. And they've got it down to a real science now where they, you know, they cast bets on the exact moment that the person will expire.
Oh, no. Seriously?
Or child. Oh, yes. And now, now they do it all the time.
That's sickening.
Yeah.
I mean, from what you're telling me now, it's obvious. And him and I talked about that. I could probably do 20 shows with this guy.
Easy.
I'm really looking forward to it because it should be a great show. But the one I've got coming up Monday is a good one too. Okay, that one is one of my masterpieces. I did that one, you know, and I think I've perfected it. So there. Anyway, okay. Anything else you want to add before I let you go, dear?
Oh no, I'll enjoy that Monday show too. Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
have a good weekend.
Welcome. You too. Talk to you later. Okay. Well, and so after all of this, after all of this, I'm supposed to go back to talking about the USS Indianapolis. I got on that for about 2 minutes during the first part of the show, read about five lines, and then we got off into all this other stuff. I don't even know how I'm going to explain my archive tonight, but I'm going through here right now in this chat room, and I'm going, and there's only about 1,000 links here now. I'll be tied up all weekend, and it's all over this one guy. Man, this is going to be fun. All right, anyway. All right, let me take a breath. Kus Raba. All right. We get back to the Indianapolis. God, it seems so moot at this point. All right, let me try to get through this. Let's see. I don't think I got any callers on the line. I think we're good there. Let's see. Yeah, all right, we're good. So back to the Indianapolis. So the Indianapolis, unescorted, departed Guam on a course of 262 degrees, making about 17 knots, and at 14 minutes past midnight on July 30th, 1945, midway between Guam and the Lady Gulf, she was hit by two torpedoes out of six fired by a Japanese submarine. The first blew away the bow. The second struck near midship on the starboard side, adjacent to a fuel tank and the powder magazine. The resulting explosion split the ship to the keel, knocking out all the electric power, and within minutes, she went down rapidly by the bow, rolling to starboard. Of the 1,196 people on board, about 900 of them made it into the water. Now, remember, folks, this is to deliver the bomb to Hiroshima, okay? So all these guys are on this ship delivering the bomb, doing their due diligence, doing their, you know, their duties as servicemen. 900 guys make it into the water, and visualize this if you were one of them. In the 12 minutes before she sank, few of the life rafts were released, and most of the survivors wore the standard Kapok life jacket. Well, guess what? Remember Quint, 1977, Jaws? Okay, that was Robert Shaw, right? And he described that when him and Richard Dreyfuss and Roy Scheider were down below decks and they were drinking. Remember that he described this? Well, that's what he's talking about. Of the 11, let's see, made it on most of, yeah, okay. Shortly after 11 a.m. on the fourth day, the survivors were accidentally discovered. Let's see, the shark attacks began with sunrise of the first day and continued until the men were physically removed from the water almost 5 days later. After 11 a.m. on the fourth day, the survivors were accidentally discovered by a Lieutenant Wilbur C. Gwynn piloting his PV-1 Ventura bomber on a routine anti-submarine patrol. Radioing his base in Peleliu, he alerted many men in the water. A PBY seaplane under the command of Lieutenant R. Adrian Marks was dispatched to lend assistance and report. And en route to the scene, Marks overflew the destroyer, the USS Cecil Doyle, and alerted her captain of the emergency. The captain of the Doyle, on his own authority, decided to divert to the scene. The arriving hours ahead of the Doyle, Mark's crew began dropping rubber rafts and supplies, and while so engaged, they observed men being attacked by sharks. Disregarding standing orders not to land at sea, Marks landed and began taxiing to pick up the stragglers and lone swimmers who were the greatest risk of the shark attack. What's that? I got Fred in Michigan? Okay. Fred in Michigan. Fred, you're back? Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
I recall distinctly in another broadcast that Japan had made deliberate attempts to surrender something like six months or 6 weeks prior to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that was recorded in the Chicago Tribune. I don't have the exact date.
Okay. And that's what I had mentioned in the early... Go ahead.
Okay. And then relative to that guy, Jared or whatever from Louisiana, attacking anyone for wanting to review history. Okay, I would direct Jared to contact the Anti-Defamation League and other Jewish organizations like AIPAC, for instance. Tex Mars would have, I'm sure, a lot of contact info or intel, including the Jewish Policy Council, which is now according to Tex Mars, they're at the they're the spear directing this mass migration invasion of all these so-called refugees into European countries, and of course America as well. And I would direct Jared to ask these Jewish people like Abe Boxman at the ADL, who, by the way, Mike, if you may not know this, Abe Boxman, I think it was 2004 when it was published. He published a book. I'm going to get the name of it for future reference. But he declares in his book that the New Testament is hate speech. And should be banned. The New Testament should be banned. And Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, is actually a hate crime. Okay, so Jared.
Now, was that stated by Abe Foxman that the Passion of the Christ was a hate crime? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yep.
All right.
And that the New Testament is hate speech and should be banned, and that's consistent, of course, with what Tex Mars records in his new book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, which has been banned by Amazon. And incidentally, James Fetzer's books on 9/11 and Sandy Hook et al., they've all been banned from Amazon.
I know Jim. I know Jim. Go ahead.
And he would make, as you know, an excellent guest.
Jim, let me tell you, Jim, it was my first... I met Jim at a 9/11 event. That's the first time I ever met him, okay? And that was when I was just getting ready to go on the air, and I was as nervous as I could be. My first show on mainstream media, and Jim offered to come on my show and co-host with me. So I've got a soft spot for Jim. But I know Jim very well. He's co-hosted for me or sub-hosted for me 20 times over the years. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, he's a masterful investigator of critical intel data. But Jared needs to ask these prominent Talmudic Jew, what shall we call them, subterfuge promulgators, why they keep reviewing the July Wood Holohoax production, okay? January 27 every year, as I recall, is Holocaust Remembrance Day, 27 January. And then apparently this past Monday, the Donald was commemorating something relative to the Holohoax.
Yeah, I know.
Now there is actual Holocaust that did occur. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1970 for his scholarship called Gulag Archipelago, in Volume 2, page 79, I don't have the names memorized, but he IDs precisely the Talmudic Jew murderers who orchestrated, conducted the Gulag Archipelago. And then he did something that you ought to check out, and everyone in the audience needs to check out. Some 200 years together, 200 years together. That's on the internet. And also, okay, there's this guy James Bach, B like boy, A C Q U E, James Bach. Other Losses, in that book, Other Losses by James Bach. A buddy of his by the name of Ernest F. Fisher, who was a lieutenant colonel paratrooper in the W-2, he became the Army's historian, and he became a full-bird colonel. He retired as such and a Ph.D. historian. He authored a chapter in Bach's book, Other Losses, regarding the fact that in the 5 years following W-2, in concentration camps in Europe, 9 million Germans were murdered. 9 million.
Overseen by Eisenhower, right?
Yes, Eisenhower. Yeah. I'm sure that Aspirin Ass Clown Churchill And I think De Gaulle was in on it also. And by the way, Patton, somebody wrote a book called Target Patton, and has been interviewed by Deanna Spengala. And the thesis relative to Patton's murder was that, well, he wanted to go into Russia and take on the Ruskies. Well, I think what happened is Patton got onto the fact that these Germans were being murdered in these concentration camps, and he wanted to go liberate all those Germans, okay? I think that's why he was murdered, okay? That's my thesis. That's my gut instinct, okay?
Okay, all right. I'm not going to disagree with you. I don't know, but go ahead. It sounds like it could be plausible.
And you know, so reviewing history, like, for instance, on 9/11, I saw that morning what I thought was some kind of a new presentation about a controlled demolition, because I had seen that presentation before on the Learning Channel, whatever, Discovery. And I thought that's what I was seeing. And then, of course, it became obvious it was the 9/11 event. Well, all right. So here comes Jamie McIntyre from CNN, their man on the scene at the Pentagon. And he's scoping out the epicenter there of the so-called 757 crash. And he's declaring in utter, what shall we say, astonishment, there's no plane debris. Where's the plane debris?
You're talking 757? About the Pentagon. Right.
At the Pentagon. Yeah, right. He said, yeah, here's a big hole. Obviously, some sort of a cruise missile, Tomahawk, whatever. But no plane debris. And had a plane come through there, of course, it would have taken down the power lines. I don't know if there were any trees. There were probably trees that would have been taken down, and the you know, the lawn would have been tore up.
Well, now, Fred, we can't talk about that. That's 15 years old, and Jared wouldn't like it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm talking about it. And the fact lest we forget, Admiral Kimmel's grandson, Thomas Kimmel, most people that I know today still believe that Pearl Harbor was an unprovoked attack, which is the furthest from the truth. Okay? It was absolutely provoked. There's even a guy that wrote a book, Day of Deceit, and I'm sure there are others. That was a guy.
Okay, Fred, look, with all respect, Fred, I got to stop you because I'm running out of time. I've got other callers on the line, so I got to let you go. But good points that you made. Okay, you did. You made good points. And I think you're now out of the...
One last thing, Mike.
Go ahead.
One last thing real quick. I certainly endorse the contribution campaign. I want to remind people that Carol Asher, who was Jack McLam's stellar assistant with Aid and Abet, she contributes $40 a month.
Right,
and
the way I look at it,
it's even biblical. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So I look at Alexander Hamilton on the $10 FRN, and I'm thinking, okay, let's use Alexander Hamilton in a good way. How about that?
That's great. So thank you. I got to run, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate your input on that. Let's go to Rick in Nevada. Rick, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Fred there about the Hala hoax. However, I think it's a little bit simple-minded to talk about the 9 million the 9 million Germans who died under Eisenhower. There was no food. There was no food under Stalin. There was no food under Mao. Socialism is dumb and stupid, and so is war. I mean,
I couldn't agree with you more. And I've got a whole thing on that I was thinking about doing a show on. But the problem is the type is so small that it's hard for me to read. And I'm thinking, okay, should I do this? Should I not do this? And yeah, there's a whole lot of different perspectives from it. So I haven't done it as yet, you know. But as far as, you know, getting back to the whole Hala hoax thing, I think I mentioned this on the air earlier this week or last week. But I've got the actual documents that, you know, literally says that there's nowhere close to 6 million Jews that perished in World War II in concentration camps. So I'm not saying it did or didn't happen. I'm just saying prove it. You know, that's all.
Yeah. Go ahead. My perspective is shame on those Jews who make a lifetime business out of the perpetual traveling Hollow Hoax Museum. You know? Give me a break.
Well, they have used it as turned into a cultish religion of sorts where they, you know, they guilt people into, you know, feeling sorry for it, never again. And then, you know, the Germans are still paying reparations and we're giving them $6 billion a year for their defense budget, probably more. You know, it's all a ruse. It's all BS, you know.
Before I part, I will just say that I hope that Trump is as fast a learner as I believe that he is, because he's getting a lesson in realpolitik about you're going to get up to the door of North Korea and you're going to get up to the door of Iran and you're going to find smartly dressed policemen, the Russian and the Chinese, and they're going to stop him there.
Yeah, well, I hope that I hope he you know, enlightens himself in the not too distant future, because he's being led down the primrose path by a bunch of war hawks. You know,
He needs to fire some people and hire some people that, you know, like from the alternative community who know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, he got rid of Steve Bannon for crying out loud, and now Jared Kushner and Ivanka's in there. You know, and what's that? What's that other girl's name? Dina, what's her face? Okay, I mean, you might as well, you know. This is the queen of genocide that replaced
Bannon. I would vote for Dina Spingola as an advisor and a close confidant of Trump in there. You know, give him some real news and advice.
Well, I don't think he wants real news anymore, because he was getting real news from Steve Bannon, you know, and he got rid of that. So, and where do you go from here?
For the show, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Rick. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, there we are, folks. Okay. I mean, to summarize the Indianapolis, shall we? Let's see. A whole bunch of people died, and they got eaten by sharks. There you go. I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, I was cut off so many times from getting through this. My whole point was that a whole lot of guys died unnecessarily because, as Fred mentioned, okay, and he had said the same thing that I had heard, is that the Japanese were looking to make peace. They were tired of it, okay, and they knew they were losing. But we dropped the bomb on them just because we had a bomb. We had to drop it on somebody. I mean, look what we're doing these days. We're dropping the Moab on people. Well, hey, we got a great big bomb here. What do we do with it? And one of those war hawks over there goes, I got an idea. Let's drop it on somebody. Everybody goes, yeah, that's a good idea. So they drop it. You know, I mean, this is their – I hate to laugh or I cry, but I'm, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I just I can't wrap my head around their mentality. You know what I mean? And, yes, Fred's right. Okay, at some point in time – he's going to get right up close to that, and if somebody doesn't stop him or somebody didn't pull him aside and say, hey, Trump, you know, I don't think you better do that, because those people have nuclear missiles too, and they can make your whole country into a parking. You dead? What's that? Oh, I did? After parking lot? Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, somebody needs to pull Trump aside and say, hey, you know what? The people that you're up against or might be up against, they have nukes, too, and they can make your country into a parking lot, which wouldn't be really, you know, boost your rating polls for the American people, because they'll be dead. You won't have any polls. Thanks for listening. See you the same time Monday night with the Titanic, folks, and then Tuesday night with Field McConnell. Have a good weekend. Out for now.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.